So just before we go weiter, the truth is, the rest of the daf goes very, very quickly. So before we go weiter, whenever you talk about mazalos and astronomy, astrology, so the truth is Rosh Hashanah is one of the big mar mekaymus for these sugyos. It's going to come up again in the next week or two. So we have the Moilud Halavana, Rehu Bezdin, is a whole perek that deals with the halachas of Kiddush HaChodesh. So that's all right here in Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah. And the truth is that when you tackle this from a more scientific standpoint, there's really two approaches you could take. There's the more scientific approach. There's understanding the constellations and the Earth's rotation around the sun and how it affects the constellations. And then there's the more astrological perspective, which personally I think is the more interesting part, and that is just the idea of the kechavim and the mazalos, which plays in to the idea of mazal. People have mazal, which is based on the mazalos, again, based on the constellations. And of course, one would need a good understanding of the mazalos to properly understand the idea of the Avodah Zarah that the ancient people used to worship, right? What were the names of Ovdei Avodah? How did Chazal refer to Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Akum. What is Akum? It's an acronym. What does it stand for? Ovdei Kechavim u'Mazalos. So the ancients, they used to worship the Kechavim, the stars, with the Mazalos, and the constellations. So clearly an understanding of the Kechavim u'Mazalos plays very much into us understanding of Avodah Zarah, right? Every time Avodah Zarah comes up, so you say, oh, I don't understand Avodah Zarah. You had to be there. It was with that. They were Mevatli Yitzhar Avodah Zarah, the Gemara and Yuma. It's something that we can't even begin to comprehend. That's true on a certain level. But I think with a little bit of research, you'll realize you can understand more of Avodah Zarah than you think you can. And the truth is, it's all the sugi of Avodah Zarah. Understanding it a little bit better is based on an understanding of Kechavim u'Mazalos. So just to illustrate. No. So, all right. So just, what's that? So I'll tell you, I felt that rather than coming up with my own words to try to explain the mazalos a little bit, I figured I'll bring the source itself with me. And this is the name of the book is Letters to a Buddhist Jew, and it was written by Rabbi Akiva Tatz. Rabbi Akiva Tatz writes in the introduction to his books that he's a Talmud Muvik of Rav Moshe Shapiro. This is just a disclaimer, and it's almost Rav Moshe Shapiro mitaber mitaych groiner. Rav Moshe Shapiro is one of the most choshev yidden in Eretz Yisrael today. He's a tzaddik, he's a makubal. People go to him for brachas, they go to hear his shiurim. So this is, you want just to understand where this is coming from. So over here, he has an essay here. It's a letter that he's writing to a man named David Gottlieb, who's a Buddhist Jew, and the discussion gets into Avodah Zarah. Try to have a better understanding of what Avodah Zarah was. So we'll work backwards over here. So Toich Dvarav, while he's discussing this, he gets into the idea of the mazalos. I'll just read to you a few paragraphs. I thought this was very interesting. So he writes as follows. He writes, so to understand Avodah Zarah, you'd have to understand astrology, and the truth is, what was astrology? On the one hand, you find that Chazal were very busy with mazel, with astrology. Avraham Avinu couldn't have kids, Hashem told him, they say it's tagninu shalcha, right? Yet you find it in the beginning of Mitzrayim, he had all the Chatumim paraded. Sounds like these guys knew something. What is, again, the basic premise of astrology would be that people were able to look at the stars, the way the stars were positioned, the constellations, and based on that, they were able to predict things that were going to happen in the future. It sounds pretty wild. The Rambam famously machzavek a lot of these heebie-jeebie type things. But it's difficult to say that astrology has no basis at all, and that the Rambam would have thought that it has no basis, because Tanakh and Chazal is filled with ideas that are based on astrology. So here, I'll just read to you a little bit from what he writes. To approach this issue, we shall need to understand some of the deeper levels that form the foundation of creation. Our deeper sources describe many interlocking levels to the creation, and as chain stretching back, beginning at the very source of existence. Many worlds are connected in sequence. Each of these higher worlds infuses the level below it with existence and energy, and together they bring out yet another level below them. This process continues in myriad complexity until finally our finite world results. So basically he's saying that, you know, we think of Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, but the truth is there are many worlds. Chazal talk about Shai Olam, 310 worlds, but it's even more than that. And there's levels and levels and levels. Hashem, of course, is the Boirei, Umanig L'chol HaBiruim, V'u L'vadei Osev V'yisev Yasa L'chol HaMasim. That's the first of the Animamims. But when Hashem is Mashpia on the world, he's not Mashpia directly from where Hashem sits all the way down to us lowly human beings, but rather it goes through different levels and different worlds, which is what he refers to. Each of the levels in this devolving chain of causation has its own uniqueness. But let us focus on one in particular for our present purpose. Between all the higher worlds and our concrete physical one, there is a stage that is intermediate, the second to last in the overall sequence. This stage or world is not directly perceived by us, but is accessible. Its function is to transmit the higher energies down to this world. It is, if you like, the interface between all the higher worlds and ours. It is at the limit that can be perceived from our perspective. This intermediate level is the world of the zodiac, known as the world of the mazel. So in short, the world of the mazel basically is the world that's right above the world that we live in. So we live in a very finite world, in a very physical world. Of course, in Shemayim, there's nothing physical. All the expressions that you find in Tanakh and in Chazal, these are all metaphors, these are all mishalim. But really, the world is not physical, it's not finite, it's not physical. The world that's right above us is an intermediate world. It's physical in the sense that we can perceive it, us physical human beings, who have no shaykhis to understanding anything that's not physical. This is something that we can't comprehend. But at the same time, it's not entirely physical. It's somewhere right in between. And it would be necessary to have a world like that as an interface between the metaphysical and the physical. So there's something that's in between that bridges the gap. It's connected to the metaphysical, but at the same time, it's something that can infuse, be mashpia, into the physical, which would require it to have some elements of physicality. And that's the world of the Kechavim Mazolos, that's the world of the zodiac. So we think of the Kechavim and the Mazolos, right? The Kechavim are the stars. The Mazolos, the constellations, are just the arrangement of the stars. So we think of the stars, we think of them as Kechavim. They light up the world. So during the day, the sun lights the world, and at night, it's the moon and the stars. That's true. But the stars have a much greater purpose than that, and that is that they act as a funnel, as an intermediary between the Ilam Yisrael Yoynos, and they're being mashpia down onto our lowly world. And that is the significance of the Kechavim and the Mazolos, in addition to just being luminaries onto the world. And then he continues. In fact, the root of the word mazel, commonly translated as luck, means a flow, right? To be noizel. It means to flow, as in the flow of a liquid. It represents the flow from a higher level down to this one. There cannot be a more inaccurate translation than luck. The concept of luck implies total randomness. Mazel is just the opposite. It is only the fact that the directing hand behind is hidden that leads us to perceive things as random. Mazel is just the opposite of luck. It's not luck what happens to you. To the contrary, this is science. Hashem is being mashpia to this world, and the way he's being mashpia is through his intermediaries, and the mazolos are the intermediaries through which Hashem is being mashpia. So anything that happens via a mazel is happening because Hashem directed it to happen so, which clearly is not luck. And of course, he writes in parentheses, mazel tov does not mean good luck, to which someone that would be a pagan travesty of the first order. What business does a Jew have bestowing the wish for luck in the sense of pure random fluke? On the contrary, when we articulate the blessing of mazel tov, we mean to invoke a flow of energy, of blessing from the source of all blessing. We are expressing the wish that this event, whether it be a wedding or some other significant life event, should be blessed with an auspicious connection to its source. In other words, we mean to express the very opposite of luck, in the sense of random chance. This error is just another example of our current spiritually shattered state. Okay. So he continues. Astrology is the science of understanding that intermediate world, and using the knowledge of its structure and changes to understand or predict events in the physical world. Strictly speaking, it is not reading the future at all. That is prophecy. It is simply reading the present. One who knows the stars can tell approximately what will happen here because the causative energies are disposed that way now. The forces are already in motion. For a simple analogy, if you show a seed to an expert, he will predict what tree will grow from that seed many years hence, even though you may see no more than an undifferentiated seed. The expert is not seeing the future. He simply knows seeds. And particular seeds become particular trees, naturally and predictably. That is exactly the point about astrology. It is not a transcendent wisdom, it is a knowledge of the root of the natural. So basically what he's saying is, in short, the idea of the Mazolos war, and the people, we'll get to there from why people worship the Mazolos, but the idea of the Mazolos was that Hashem is Mashpia through Olamos, Olamos, Olamos. The Olam, the world that's right above our world, is the world of the Mazolos, meaning the Kechavim, which are the stars, and the constellations, which are just the formation of the stars, are agents of Hashem through which Hashem is going to be mashpia, not just light, which is what the kechavim naturally do, but anything, rain, parnosa, gizid parnosa, nachas, a lot of these things happen through the mazolos. La beschus etalya milsa, ela right b'mazol etalya milsa. That's a gemara. Bani chayu mazayin, gizid parnosa, nachas. La beschus etalya milsa, ela b'mazol. It all happens through the mazolos. And Hashem is mashpia it. And the astrologers were able to look up at the stars, and they understood, like he says, just like the farmer could look at a seed and he could tell you what kind of tree is going to grow, he could say, oh, based on the formation of the stars, I see exactly what's going to happen. This wasn't prophecy, this wasn't nevuah, this wasn't some esoteric knowledge, it was science. They understood the system. They got the they understood exactly how it operates. And when the kechavim are like this, this is going to happen. The kechavim are like that, that's going to happen. And that was what they were able to figure out. What the Ivdei Avodah Zarah did was they now took it to the next level. They understood that although Hashem is calling the shots, but he's working through intermediaries. And if you can pay off the intermediaries, or if you can find a way to manipulate the intermediaries, you can go ahead and be mashpia, unbelievable things on yourself. So if the formation of the stars somehow can cause a person to be wealthy, or can cause a person to be healthy, or give him other good things that he wants, maybe we can find a way to manipulate the stars without having to daven and going to the source. Going to the source is not so easy, number one. You have to get there. And number two, it's very demanding. Hashem says, yeah, I'll listen to you. However, there's 613 mitzvahs that you're going to have to observe. If you can somehow find a way to manipulate, pay off the middleman and get exactly what you need, that's as old as the world, literally, then that is that could be an easier deal. That can make things a lot simpler for a person to be able to accomplish. And it's that very thing that the Ovdei Kechavim used to do. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah, in short, who were referred to by Chazal as Ovdei Kechavim u'Mazolos, they were manipulating the Kechavim and the Mazolos, understanding that although they weren't the source of power, however, as intermediaries, they did have certain koyach, they were manipulating these forces for their own personal benefit. That was the idea of Ovdei Kechavim u'Mazolos. Right. So the truth is that this conversation takes on many levels. I'll just tell you one last idea, and then we'll go weiter. And that is, just think for a second. You're saying Kriya Shema every day. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. This is not for Rabbi Tetz. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Asher Yetzesi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Lio Yislachem Elokeichem. Hashem says, I took the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. Why? Lio Yislachem Elokeichem. So that I can be your Elokeichem. I can be your God. And if you read this pasuk literally, it sounds like, meaning, when the Yidden were in Mitzrayim, Hashem wasn't our Elokeichem. Hashem says, I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. Why? Lio Yislachem Elokeichem. What's that supposed to mean? Of course Hashem is our Elokim. It's the first pasuk in the Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim. Hashem created the world. He was Elokim. Hashem is Elokim. The definition of Elokim is always Hashem. So what does it mean? Hashem takes you out of Mitzrayim. Lios lachem le'elokim. Right? You ever think of that? It's unbelievable. Yaakov Avinu is beginning of Parashas Vayetze. So he's going to Lavan, right? He's running away from Esav. So Yaakov turns to Hashem and he makes a deal with Hashem. Vayider Yaakov ned lemar. Emi Elokim imadi ushmarani b'derech hazeh. Asher nechi hoylech v'nasam li'lecha lecha lo'begid lo'bosh. V'shach And the last condition, what's the last thing he wants from Hashem? Hashem li le'elokim. And if you Hashem, you're going to be my Elokim, then what I'm going to give you is, etc. He's making a condition. If you'll be my Elokim, then I'll, even if you're going to be my Elokim. I didn't realize it was optional. Of course Hashem's your Elokim. Bereishis bara Elokim. You have in the parsha the Bris Milah. The Bris Milah is referred to as a Bris. What's the Bris of Bris Milah? Vakimoisi as Brisi, Beinu Venech, Hashem talking to Avram Avinu, Parashas Lach Lecha. Ubein Zaracha Acharecha L'deiroisam L'Bris Olam, Liyos Lecha L'Elokim, Ula Zaracha Acharecha. Hashem says, I promise, a covenant. This is the Milah. The Milah represents a Bris between me and you, and me and your children. What is that Bris exactly? I am going to be your Elokim. Liyos Lecha L'Elokim. I said, what do you mean that? You need a Bris for Liyos Lecha L'Elokim? Again, I didn't realize this was optional. But the truth is that in the Aseres HaDibros, so the first mitzvah saseh is Anoichi, Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha, and then you have the first, the Loi saseh, which is Lo Yielecha Elohim Acherim Alponai. What is Lo Yielecha Elohim Acherim Alponai? Simply translated, means a Yid's not allowed to be Oved Avodah Zarah. But the Ramban ala Torah is already Oymed on the fact that the Torah uses a very interesting word to describe Avodah Zarah. The Torah uses the word Elohim, which is odd, because Elohim, B'lashon Chayil, is the same exact word as Elohim, B'lashon Kodesh, which is referring to Hashem. Now we know that a name in our religion is very much representative of essence. So a person's name represents what his essence is, or who his essence is. So it's odd then that the Torah would use the word Elohim, which is used for Hashem, now in the Lashon Chayil Elohim, to describe Avodah Zarah. I mean, you would think that Avodah Zarah is the antithesis of what Hashem represents. So how is it possible that two things which seem to imply complete opposites would be described by the same name? It would seem to imply that at the essence, at the core, there is some similarity, therefore the same word is used, which again is a davar tamua. So the Ramban discusses it, and the Ramban says that when the Torah says, the reason that we're bothered by this, says the Ramban, is because we don't understand Avodah Zarah. He says that Hashem is mashpia on the world, and gives a very similar shtickle like we just spoke out. And Hashem uses, whereas the word we've been using is the kechavim and the mazalois and the ilamois, they're malachim that are in charge of every medina. There are different medinas, right? You have the Sari Shalesa, we had the Sar Lazazel. So you have different medinas have different sarim, different malachim that are in charge of the whatever it is, the operations of that particular medina. Those sarim, those malachim are heavenly bodies. They have certain koiches, and it's for that reason that they're referred to as Elohim, because there is something divine about these things. The Ramban goes on to describe how the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to worship these malachim for the same reason that the Ovdei Kechavim Mazalis used to worship the Kechavim and the Mazalis, because they saw them as intermediaries who, if they would manipulate properly, they'd be able to get whatever they wanted to get. You can manipulate the formation of the stars. You can manipulate this malach who's in charge. Meaning Hashem is the CEO. There's no question Bereishis Bara Elokim. But at the same time, he's delegated his work, and there are people that are in charge of different medinas. So Roimi has his sar, and Poras has his sar, and Yovan has his sar, and those are all also Elohim, because they are divine heavenly bodies. And the Torah is telling you, be careful. Don't go ahead and don't worship these people, because these are the Elohim. So the idea of there is, so when we talk about Elohim, there's really Tarti v'mashma. You have, of course, Bereishis Bara Elohim, and that's certainly the Eivishta. But at the same time, on a more individual, but if in Prati, there's an idea that different Medinos have different Elohim, quote unquote, that are in charge of what it is they're doing. Hashem told the Yidden, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yitzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liyas Lechem Lechem, not Bereishis Bara Elokim, of course Bereishis Bara Elokim, but Liyas Lechem Lechem, that with you, Klal Yisrael, I'm going to have a special connection. Whereas with every nation, there are intermediaries, there's the Elohim Acherim, there'll be no Elohim Acherim between me and Klal Yisrael. Not only will I be the CEO, but I'm going to attend to every personal matter that affects Klal Yisrael. And that's the special connection that Klal Yisrael has. That's what Yaakov Avinu asks Hashem for, and that's the Bris Milah where Hashem tells Avram that with your children, through the Bris Milah, there's going to be a special covenant that not only, again, will I be the big picture, but I'll micromanage every single detail of what is in Klai. And the truth is, you read Psukim in the Torah, it's unbelievable how often you find this idea. In Parshas Veschanim, one of the Psukim, one of the many places in the Torah, where Hashem is warning profusely against Avodah Zarah. So the Pasuk says that you have to be careful not to be oved avodah zarah. And the pasuk says, Pentashchiso and Vasisem Lochem Pesel, Tmunas Kol Semel, Tavnes Kol Behema, Tavnes Kol Remes, Upentise Necha Hashemaimo. Just read this pasuk. Veroiso as Hashemesh, Vasayereach, Vasakechovim, Kol Tzva Hashemayim, Venidachta, Vishtachaviso, Lem Vavadatom. What are these Kechovim Mazalis? You're going to lift your eyes, you're going to see them, you're going to want to worship them. These are things, Asher Cholak Hashem Alekecha, Oisam Lecholo Amim. Tachas kol hashamayim. But ve'eschem lokach Hashem, v'yoytzi eschem mikor ha-barzel mi-mitzrayim, li'ois lo'ila amnach l'kayim hazeh. The Torah is saying that not only is it usher for a yid to worship Avodah Zarah, it's foolish for a yid to worship Avodah Zarah. Because why you worship Avodah Zarah? Because you want to manipulate the kechavim, the mazolos, the elihim acherim. That's very good for the Umay Sa'olam. The Umay Sa'olam are tachas the memshalah of one of these elihim acherim. They're tachas the memshalah of the kechavim mazolos. But as relates to the yid, Hashem, I says, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Why did I take you out of Mitzrayim? For you, this is not going to affect. One other pasuk in Parashas Balak. Balak hires Bilam. What does he tell him to do? To go curse the Yidden. So Balak tries doing his things, and he comes back and he tells Balak, I was unsuccessful. Why not? He says, Ma ekoiv loy kabay kel, uma ezen loy zam Hashem. What does that mean? He says, I tried. I couldn't do it. Zok the Ramban, what was Bilam's special talent that he had? He knew how to manipulate the intermediaries. Balak hired Balak. He said, this hired Bilam. He says, go manipulate the intermediaries that affect the Jews. Make sure they get all messed up like this. I'll be able to take them there. He comes back. He says, no, I can't. They don't have intermediaries. They deal directly with Hashem. My talent that I have, my special koyach, my niche, is not going to work with the Yidden because they operate differently.